Finally, myth number five, and this is another one that is common, and I would say, sad to say, among Christians, all too common. There are a lot of mistakes in the Bible. Plainly put, Ken, are there mistakes, any mistakes, in the Bible?
Well, I guess I could be coy with you and say the Bible reports all sorts of mistakes that people commit. The first sin by Adam and Eve, there's murder, there's rape, there's adultery, there's all sorts of things in the Bible. The bad advice that the friends of Job give him. Peter opening his mouth and inserting his foot regularly in the Gospels. I mean, there's all sorts of mistakes, but that's not usually what people are talking
right.
about.
Right. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people saying errors of fact, historical inaccuracies, blatant contradictions, and for heaven's sakes, Ken, all you got to do is enter contradictions in the Bible into a search engine on the Internet, and you will find website after website that purports to have found blatant and gross contradictions, errors, and inaccuracies in the Bible.
And, yeah, there's always somebody crawling out of the woodwork to point out another one that they think they've found. What you have to do is look at these alleged contradictions and ask yourself the question, sometimes it's just this simple, is it really a contradiction? People, for example, seize on the healing of a blind man named Bartimaeus. One of the Gospels says it was Bartimaeus. Another one says there were two blind men. Well, see, if there were two blind men, there was certainly one there. The focus on the one doesn't deny the presence of the other. Now, if the other passage said Jesus healed one and only one, and the other Gospel says, no, he healed two on this occasion, then you might have something. But the focus on the one does not deny the other. The other question with that incident is, well, was Jesus going into or out of Jericho? Because the one gospel says the one thing, the other says the other. We could be talking about Bartimaeus and his friend being located between Old Testament Jericho and New Testament Jericho. Most of the alleged contradictions, discrepancies, can really be gotten to the bottom of just by that kind of a method. Ask, is there really a contradiction here?
While one may say, oh, there may be apparent contradictions in the Bible, that you would allow.
Yeah, that's a good term, too. As they appear to us, they are contradictions. And I'm until you look a little bit more closely.
I'm wondering, you mentioned before this, how it is that people often read the Scripture saying that the Bible contains the Word of God. And it's rather popular of late, although I think this is passing from vogue, for the avant-garde Bible scholars to say that they can sift through the New Testament in particular and they can judge whether or not something is authentic or not. There's even, as you know, the Jesus seminar that went through and a whole group of scholars cast votes, coming out with about, 4% of the New Testament being authentic and the rest of it more or less hogwash. And they seem to do it based upon many of these apparent contradictions or upon things that they think simply couldn't have happened, like miracles or certain sayings of Jesus.
Yeah, and of course with the miracles, you finally have to answer the question, just historically speaking, well, what are you going to do with this evidence? If you just rule out, before you even examine it, that something extraordinary could have happened, then you're going to rule out a lot of things. I mean, if novelty, if something happening for the first time means that we're going to doubt it, then we're going to doubt that the Wright brothers ever flew a plane. It had never happened before.
Are there, and this is a little more inside track by way of Bible scholarship, but are there discrepancies between different copies of the Bible? Can we find ancient manuscripts that disagree with one another?
Oh, yeah, because, see, we don't have any of the actual writings of the apostles. We don't have the book that Matthew wrote in his own handwriting or John or any of the rest.
The autographs.
Right. What we have are copies. Now, the good news is we have lots and lots and lots of copies, especially with the New Testament. And so we can compare. Usually the discrepancies are pretty small. It amounts to the difference between one version or one copy saying Christ Jesus and the other one saying Jesus Christ. At times, a whole line has gotten omitted just because a scribe missed it as he was copying the manuscript. There are a few others that, like the woman taken in adultery at the beginning of John 8. That is not in the oldest manuscripts of the book of John, and so it's usually relegated in most modern Bible translations to a footnote where it tells you most ancient authorities do not report this story. But the good news is that even if you don't have that story, the basic point of the book of John remains. There's nothing about Christian doctrine that gets changed as a result of these what are called variant readings.
What would you say to someone who buys into this last myth, says there are too many mistakes in the Bible, and on the basis of that, he simply can't believe it?
I'd say that he should read it. You know, try it. Read it. Look it over. Because God's power does work through this word. And there have been lots of people over the years who have tried to hold the Bible up to ridicule and scorn, and they got converted in the process of trying to dig up dirt against the Bible. And, of course, there's the question about whether what you've got is really a contradiction. It may just seem to you to be a contradiction, but is it really? Also, take account of archaeology. Archaeology has made a lot of critical study of the Bible look pretty foolish because it has shown, well, what's the real story?
Would you summarize, we've been dealing with the Word of God with the time left to us, less than a minute. Would you summarize these five myths and their answers, or the basic thrust of this conversation?
God is always present to strengthen us when we pick up the Bible and take a long drink of the milk of the Word. Somebody has suggested that you should never close your Bible. Always keep it open as an invitation to read. But even if we leave the book open, how do we develop the right attitude toward reading it? And how do we find the time? Well, part of it is to come back again to the fact that this really is the Word of God. It is a living power. This is God's living, dynamic Word to us, a Word that works change in our hearts and lives. And that's going to be the thing that finally is so glorious about our encounter with the Bible, that the Bible is the cradle where Christ lies, as Luther puts it.